simple life, if these people were in today's society, what would they be looked at? As misfits, rejects. Somebody needs psychiatric care. Right? What is the psychiatric care today, they teach? That you're great, you're wonderful, you just don't know it. You just have to understand how wonderful you are. You have so much power, you have so much potential. Just go out there and develop self-esteem. Right? So what happens? One person with self-esteem comes in contact with another person with self-esteem, and then what happens? There's just steam. That's all. It's conflict. Everybody's in conflict, competition. I want to be the top person. If a person, one person has $1 million and the other man has 2 million, he wants 3 million so he can be better than that person, right? If he's the top, no, let me be the top. Krishna explains, Bhagavad Gita, the nature of demania. So much wealth do I have today, so much will be mine in the future. He is my enemy and I have killed him. My other enemy will also be killed. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I shall give in charity and I shall rejoice. This is Krishna's words from Bhagavad Gita. This is how the demoniacs think. A hard struggle simply to steal the property of the Lord. And this goes on as civilization. And therefore, when someone asked Mahatma Gandhi, they said to me, Mahatji, what do you think about Western civilization? And I asked him this question, Mahatma Gandhi, he was a very wise man. So he said, I think it's a good idea. That was his idea. They should become civilized. So Western society is not based on moral, religious principles. It's based on, it's meant to be. The whole basis of Western civilization was found on a Judeo-Christian ethic, which is religious principles. Family, God, and religiousness. But it's been usurped in the last 300 or 400 years by a class of living entities who are simply out to control and exploit people for sense gratification. So we live in a very, very demoniac time. Very demoniac. And to live within this civilization and try to become God conscious is practically impossible. Practically impossible. But therefore, the Lord, He's very merciful. He's very kind. And He's well aware of how to help those who are sincere. So He has come in the form of His holy name. 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, have come to give people in this age an opportunity to practice spiritual life, which is conducive to the climate of the age. When we say conducive to the climate of the age, we mean that this age is not, by nature, conducive to spiritual life. To practice the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or this Ramayana, Mahabharata, all these wonderful scriptures, is very difficult. And at the same time, living it, very difficult, practically impossible. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was none other than the Supreme Lord incarnate, He came as a merciful incarnation to give an opportunity for the living entities in this particular age to practice spiritual life and at the same time be able to withstand the power of Maya, or Kali, in this age. And that is the congregational glorification of the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's explained, Kali Kalair, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. Krishna comes in the form of His holy name, personally, in order to give an opportunity for the living entities in this age to become God conscious. This is the special word. This is the light within this darkness. This age is very dark. It's a very, very dark age, and it's getting worse. Practically every country, every society in the world is armed to the teeth. They're ready for a major war. They are. At any time it can break out. It's just like, you know, just like a thin piece of ice. Any time something could spark it. And it's been understood, there's never been a time in the history where society has been well armed without using that armament. They've always used it in the past. There have been major, major wars. And some people are eager for these things. It's not like everybody's saying, well, we're just doing it for protection. There's some persons who are just eager for the opportunity. It's a very difficult time. You can't even drink the water without getting some kind of disease. The food is all polluted with pesticides. The air is full of carbon monoxide. Right? Some of our devotees went to Mexico City. And they were doing the Harinam chanting outside. The police came and said, don't chant in public. Because the air is so bad here that you may not be able to withstand the, you know, if you do any kind of physical, the pollution in Mexico City is so bad that people have to come into their houses outside. It's so bad. It's a contaminated city. You go to Manila. Manila is another city in the Philippines. It's so bad, so polluted. Have you ever been to Manila? So bad. Bombay. You've been to Bombay. It's equal to smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day if you stay outside all day. Yeah, it's like that, right? No restriction. You're just driving along in your car and there's some big truck shooting, you know, all kinds of carbon monoxide into the air. And Delhi. Delhi is catching up with Calcutta. It's getting worse. Even Delhi is so bad now. It's getting worse and worse. All the air is becoming polluted because we need cars. We have to have cars. We can't live without cars. We can die with cars, but we can't live without it. That is pretty much... Now this is what goes on as civilization. And so we've completely forgot what civilization used to be like. You know, we read the scriptures, we hear about how people live, and the propaganda nowadays is people were suffering miserably before, now we got it together. You look at the past as people who are ignorant, who are foolish, who are suffering, who are poor, but now everything is fine. You got car, you got stereo, if you got CD, if you got computer, then you are. You have successfully achieve the goal of life. That's what they say. And that's the propaganda. So it's not a very good time. And they say, so therefore Krishna is very merciful. He's come. This is the light in the darkness. What is that verse? Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is coming directly from the spiritual world. The Lord is not only sending it, he's bringing it himself. He doesn't trust anybody. He's coming himself with the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, take this holy name. This is the only savior in this age. If we can simply become attracted to chanting the holy names of the Lord. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Maha means great. It's the great mantra for deliverance in this age. And simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, immediately one is protected from the miseries of the material energy. Immediately. It gives all protection. It gives all knowledge. It gives freedom from material miseries. It ultimately puts us directly in contact with the Supreme Lord by devotional service through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. It is explained that the demigods many years ago used to come to this planet in order to perform sacrifice. They don't come anymore. It's not a nice place. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, right after he came, the demigods had a whole different change of mind. When they found out that the Lord came in order to propagate the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, they wanted to be a part of this movement. So even the demigods are trying to come, take birth in this age of Kali on this planet in order to take part in this Sankirtan movement. This is the only hope. Srila Prabhupada came 30 years ago as a messenger. He was called Senapati Bhakta. It's explained in the scriptures that there will be one person who will be the leader of all the bhaktas. Senapati means the general. And he will take this chanting of the holy name out of India and bring it to every country of the world. And this will be the saving grace in this age of Kali. Because it's not a very good time. It is a very, very dangerous time. It's a very irreligious time, and it simply works against all the good value. Even if you want to be a nice person, even if you want to be a religious person, your friends, your family members, everyone is teaching you and preaching to you, and you simply have to be a materialist. You have to have money, you have to have cars, you have to have computers, you have to have these things. These are the things that will make you happy. Nobody's happy, but still, they're telling this is the propagated. It's not a very good time. These things you can have, but if you don't have Krishna consciousness, if you don't have a relationship with God, and ultimately, all these things ultimately lead you to the path of hell. This is what we say, a demoniac society. Education, entertainment, political, communication, networks, all these different aspects of society are controlled, and the whole propaganda is, more is better. That's it. More is better. So, and I don't want to make it sound like I don't want to make you feel so miserable. Actually, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful time. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that light. Time and truth go hand in hand. Ultimately, demoniac society will be destroyed. Because demoniac means unnatural. And the Lord, when he sees the society going down, he ultimately makes arrangements for it to come back up. Krishna will not allow the living entities to live a demoniac life. It goes on for some time. His timetable is different than our timetable. But ultimately, it will be destroyed. And the way to destroy that is simply to purify our consciousness. We're trying to make everyone God conscious by teaching them and trying to attract them to chant the holy names of the Lord. This is the only hope, really. This is the only light in this age. Without this, there is no other shelter. Krishna has given the ultimate principle. If we try to take shelter in any other aspect of the society, we will find that this is called fallible soldiers. A soldier is someone who is supposed to give protection. But if the soldier is fallible, he can give protection. Our wealth, our good birth, our family members, our positions, whatever, our education, these are all fallible soldiers. They'll all be finished in time. Ultimately, our only hope is the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chant and be happy. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Yes, I just did the translation without the purport. This is all in relationship to battle between the demons and the demigods. Sankhyacharya madanganam veridamadrinam mahan hasvasva ratapatinam nadatam nishvano bhavat. The sounds of the conch shells, bugles, drums, berries, and damaris, that is, kettle drums, as well as the sounds made by the elephants, horses, and soldiers, who were both on chariots and on foot, were tumultuous. The demons and the demigods were preparing for battle. Devasur. Srila Prabhupada explains that this conflict is going on eternally. There's always a conflict between these two classes of people. Those who are for God and those who are against God. Those who work in a world for religious principles and moral upliftment, and those who want to simply propagate the philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry. Because later you have to die, so you might as well use your time for something good. Right? Eat, drink, and be merry. But this is the philosophy of the fools. Right. So don't be attracted by the toys of the West. That's all they are. They're just toys. And they're dangerous toys, too. Very dangerous. Ultimately, real wealth is our relationship with God. There's nothing... When Yudhisthira Maharaj was in exile with his brothers, as explained in the Mahabharata, he was talking with his father in the form of a yaksha. The yaksha was testing Yudhisthira. And he was asking him different questions. He said, he asked him different questions. One of the questions he asked him, what is the greatest power? What is the greatest of all power? We think of something that is powerful. What does society think is powerful? They think if you have good weaponry, smart bombs, atom bombs, this is power, good military, soldiers, big body, you know, nice fortresses. The answer was, by Yudhisthira Maharaj, he said, the greatest power is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is that power that cannot be destroyed. No one can take knowledge away. What is real knowledge? Knowledge of our relationship with God. Because that transcends the sense of time. That can be never taken away. No one can take that away. That is real power. When you know truth, then nothing can destroy truth. Because truth is God, and God is the ultimate power. So knowledge of who we are, knowledge of who God is, and knowledge of what is our relationship with God, and how to develop that relationship, and how to achieve the goal of that relationship, which ultimately is love of God. Love of God is the conclusion of all knowledge. All knowledge is meant to bring us, ultimately, to the position of developing our love for God. Otherwise, what is the value of knowledge? It's just that we just say decorations on the dead body. Knowledge is not meant simply to make money. You will get money by your karma. Karma daivana trena, jantar deho papattaya. The soul, under the influence of the material energy, takes birth according to his previous karma. And he suffers and enjoys. What is that? Tasyaisa heto vadite na kovito, na labdite ta brahmata uparida. Ta labdite tukan anya sukham, kalena sarvatra gambira ramasa. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam explains that as far as happiness and distress is concerned, because people try for happiness and they try to push back the stress, right? Let me live in such a way as I can become happy and at the same time avoid those things which make me unhappy, distress. So everyone is trying to bring happiness and avoid distress. But this verse says that just like distress comes, although you don't try for it, people become distressed, right? They have suffered, they have calamities in their life, misfortunes. It comes. Why? It comes naturally. So don't try for happiness because that also comes naturally. Your material happiness, your material distress is already there at the time of your birth. You can't increase it, you can't decrease it. You can only change how it comes or when it comes, but you can't change it. We are under the influence of the material energy. Therefore, the first part of the verse is, ultimately, try for that happiness which is eternal, which is beyond the three modes of material energy, which is not within the realm of temporary, which is eternal. That is real happiness. So, a person can work hard all their life and still be miserable. And a person cannot do anything and still be happy. A person can win the lottery and get millions of dollars and become the most miserable person in the world. Right? Actually, they did a survey on persons who have won the lottery. You know, people win $4 million, $6 million, $8 million, right? They have these big signs you see on the highways. You know, try your luck. Now it's super lottery, $32 million, right? So if you win, what does that guarantee you? Guarantees you nothing. It guarantees that you got some problems. Now you got to figure out what you're going to do with all that money. And money is not necessarily a source of happiness. Lakshmi belongs to Madhava. She sits on the chest of the Supreme Lord. And when she's away from Krishna, she becomes Durga. So Lakshmi, in the hands of the materialist, becomes a source of suffering and misery. Just like when Ravana, you know the story of Ravana, he stole Sita? What was Sita to Ravana? Ultimately, Sita was death to Ravana. He destroyed his whole kingdom, he destroyed everything, including his life. He lost everything because he took Sita. Sita is the goddess of fortune. Why? Because she's not meant to be enjoyed by the materialists. So in the same way, this message, the story is that, Sita belongs to Ram. Lakshmi belongs to Narayana. Like that. So when Lakshmi is used in the service of the Lord, it actually becomes a source of happiness. When it's used in, to propagate a religion or basically just to for one's own selfish sense gratification, it becomes a source of misery. That's the message of Ramayana. So everything is there in Krishna consciousness. Nothing is lacking. If we're looking for something in our life, we should look towards God. In God you can find everything. You can find wealth, you can find fame, you can find fortune, you can find enjoyment, you can find happiness, you can find everything. Everything's there in God. Because He's the source of everything. He's Bhagavan. Okay, sorry. Yes, question?
No.
Nice and loud.
Yeah.
Three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Generally, negative and demoniac qualities are of the modes of ignorance, and also, to some degree, the mode of passion. Godly qualities are of the mode of goodness. Godly qualities are humility, tolerance, cleanliness, truthfulness, peacefulness, simplicity, equipoise, equal to all living beings, religiousness, knowledge, wisdom, honesty. These are qualities of saintly persons, and are also mentioned as qualities of the mode of goodness. So Krishna told Arjuna, come to the mode of goodness. Develop these saintly qualities, and gradually you can understand transcendence. So we should do two things. We should try to cultivate these qualities. We should practice these qualities. Read about them, learn how to develop them, and practice them. We should not become compelled to act on our emotions and our tendencies. If we feel angry, if we feel, you know, like blasting somebody, or if we feel lusty, we have to restrain that. Human form of life means intelligence. Intelligence is meant to guide us in the right direction. If we simply accept the demands of the mind, then the mind will take us wherever it wants to. It will go from different places. The mind is a conditioned element. Therefore, the scriptures say, never trust your mind. Trust Krishna. Put Krishna in your mind and religious principles as the guidance. We should never trust our mind. Therefore, we have to be aware of these things and check them. Human form of life means restraint. So these qualities are there. And not only are they there, they're everywhere around us. Even if we are not feeling within us, you'll see it outside of you. It's everywhere. And because it's so strongly everywhere, you also become affected. Therefore, that's what it means to practice Krishna consciousness. Practicing Krishna consciousness means to imbibe these qualities of humility, tolerance, patience, all these different qualities. So Krishna, He's constantly giving us an opportunity to develop these qualities. He puts us in situations every moment just to see how we react. We're thinking, I'm doing this. But a spiritual person knows that he's being tested every moment by God, just to see how much he can come closer to God. God is giving us an opportunity to come closer to us, him, by presenting opportunities. So we can act on our negative qualities, or we can refuse to act on them. We have a choice. So therefore, you have to watch your mind. If we're governed by our mind and senses, we are no better than the animals. Animals simply, wherever you throw in front of their face, immediately they react to that. But a living human being is meant to say no. You can say no to those things which are not conducive to your spiritual and also your moral upliftment. You have to say no. Even if you find them within your own self, you have to purify them. You have to reject them. First you reject them, then you purify them. You purify them by chanting the holy names of the Lord. You purify them by associating with persons who have saintly qualities. That is one of the best ways to develop good qualities, is by association with those who have these qualities. So, first of all, we have to say no, and then we have to do what is, we have to reject the negative and act on the positive. If you want to get warm, you have to come into the sun. Or you have to come near the fire. We have to do those things which are necessary for our spiritual life. Does that answer your question? Oh, that's a practical question. And practical questions require answers that are specific, which means according to the individual, the answer is applied. For some people, one answer might be correct, and for another person, that same answer might be incorrect. So when you're talking about that, you're talking about practical questions. Therefore, you have to approach a spiritual master or approach a saintly person and get some practical advice. How to best arrange your life in such a way as to facilitate your needs, but at the same time make spiritual advancement. If we give up spiritual advancement in order to facilitate our needs, then we're actually defeating our own purpose. Because our real need is to become God conscious. That is the purpose of human life. So we have to make sure we don't sacrifice that at the expense of taking care of our body needs and the extensions of our body. So therefore, that's a practical question. But it's not, not that we reject that whole concept and say, forget about everything and just chant Hare Krishna. No, you have to do other things too. But you have to give guidance. We all need guidance in these matters. Okay? That's a practical question. Okay, any other questions? Any of our guests? You have any questions? Anything I said that didn't sound right? Okay. Where are you all from?
They're from Indiana. All of them are attending
Purdue University. You're all students going. You're from the same class coming, or is it a class project or? Huh? So you came for an opportunity to increase your spiritual association. Oh, that's very nice.
They're all grew up in Dubai.
Dubai.
And they've been in America since January.
Everybody came from Dubai. We actually have some preaching in Dubai now. It's a Muslim country, Dubai. I remember when I was traveling to India in 1986, we flew from New York and we stopped in Dubai. We couldn't get off the plane. There was guards right by the door, and the plane with rifles. Don't get off. That was my one and only encounter with Dubai. They wouldn't let us off the plane. It was some military tension at the time. And so, eventually we just went on to our, we arrived in India. But right now, it's changed. And that many of our leading preachers, a few of our leading preachers are going there regularly and doing some home programs and some preaching programs there. But you're all living here in America now?
Yeah.
You're going to be living in America, or will you be going back to Dubai? You're going to stay in America? Oh, good job. Okay. Good. Well, if there's anything we can do to serve you, are you going to be here for some time? Be here today?
Yeah.
Good. Anything we can do to make your stay more comfortable? Any needs you have, please let us know. We can try to help you in whatever way. If you need some arrangements for staying or some prasadam or anything, just let us know. We are your servants. This is your temple. We are just caretakers. This is Krishna's temple, so it's meant for everyone. So if you feel anything, any need, just let us know how we can serve you in your stay here. And Prema Bhakti, he can guide you in any way you need. Okay. Alright, so right now, after class, there is... today is Sunday morning. Sunday is the day we do what is called Maha Cleanup. So I don't know how it works with the situation today, but...
Well, is this on the basic cleanup and what is prepared for our weekly So this time we generally seek
volunteers to help in the kitchen,
and
that sort of thing, and
just
a
general
cleanup
here in
the
temple. So,
if anybody would like to help, I can bring you to. Of course, you're free to do. If you like to chant, you can also chant. I think the next RT is at 12:30. You can attend that if you like, and then there will be programs later on this evening at 5:30. Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you.